Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Not getting enough Triple M footy? Or did you miss something and need to go back and have another listen? Get the Triple M NRL podcast. It's available right now on the Triple M NRL app.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh, no, he drops the ball.
Just as long as I'm here in your arms, I could be in no better place.
I've got to respect the ball.
You're simply the
long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Woo! Oh, you gotta love your rugby league.
Two, three, four.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin.
And a very good afternoon. The Triple M Network brings you the Sunday Sin Bin. Thanks to our mates at King G right across the Triple M Network. Plenty of things to talk about today. Before we do, though, Penrith 20, Souths 12, Storm 50, Warriors 6. The boys will have plenty to say about the Warriors today. Roosters 26, Dragons 12, Victor Radley and poor old Sam Verrill. Serious injuries there. Cowboys 32, Knights 20, Titans 30, Broncos 12. That's where we'll start. Parramatta 25, Raiders 24. So that's the game so far. Our number is 133353. Let's welcome in the boys from NRL 360 on Fox League, Paul Kent.
Thanks, Anthony. Great footy over the weekend so far. I've really enjoyed it. Looking forward to this afternoon's games and plenty to talk about, as always.
Yeah, good to see the Cowboys get a win and the Titans too, and so too from Fox League, me old mate James Triceps Hooper.
Good afternoon, Anthony. Now, can we just get to the bottom? There's been a shopping centre incident. Can you please talk us through what's occurred? You've been kicked out of a shopping centre.
No, I wasn't kicked out of a shopping centre, but is there audio of this? Is there or no? Just to be clear, there is audio of it, okay.
Apparently you had a little bit of an issue on your way here today in the shopping centre. Would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
I just had
a little bit of an altercation.
Is it true or not that you were reported to the shopping centre security?
Oh.
Yeah. Yes. There might be a ban coming your way.
No, look,
knows a yes.
No one would complain about being banned from that particular shopping centre. And in fact, she complained to the lady that was cleaning, so I don't think it'll go any further.
Okay.
But thanks for bringing that up.
No problem at all.
Yeah, the only thing I've done wrong is trusted in Ryan Girdler. To tell him something personal, it had me a little bit shaken up, and he's gone and told everybody on air. So
what's happened with the cleaning lady?
I've put in a call to my solicitor, and you all know him, Lee Hadjipantelis at Brighton's, and I've got the message back from one of his colleagues. Don't say anything till you speak to Lee. So if Lee gets back to me before the end of the show...
But you know that means we're going to go try and find Lee, don't you?
Well, I mean, I can't say anything till I've given the okay, but I don't really want to take it any further. Suffice to say, I was just sticking up for an innocent person, but there's more...
So the complaint's made about... What happened to the innocent person?
Well, I can't say any more, Paul, but right.
Did you take your glasses off?
The person, to quote Gordon Tallis, said, leave mine, I'll punch around them. But anyway, we'll come back to that, boys, because there's more serious stuff to talk about.
Gordon?
Now. We've got Gordy on the phone. There is some issue with getting him on the air at Triple M Brisbane. Gordy Tallis.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How you going? Hey, Maroon, I've pressed every button. I've tried to set this up myself. The cops have arrived. The blue nurses have come, and they want your number. I just can't get this thing working.
Yeah.
I can't see you, so I'm on the phone.
Right. So, what sort of cowboy joint is Brisbane that you turn up for work? There's no one there to actually turn the machine on for you.
Listen, mate, it is the Rolls Royce. Normally, I've got a butler, mate. I get picked up.
Yeah, normally.
A limo drives me around Brisbane. We see the sights. I get a couple of coffees and a massage, and I get in here. But they're all on holidays today.
Gordon, so you've been waiting how long for a Titans victory? And the day you finally turn up to work after a Titans victory, they're all gone. There's no one there.
Yeah. Well, there's Maroon's fingerprints all over this. I reckon he rang and said, don't come in today. Don't go pick him up. I've been teasing him now for about 3 years about the Titans, and it was a great victory yesterday. I was so the call was very biased on myself, especially when the great Don took the intercept just before halftime. Instead of calling his name, I yelled out, go, Donnie, a few times. But it was a great victory, actually, and it was a pretty good game in Brisbane. I think the pressure just keeps on adding for the poor guys.
Maybe management heard you commentating the game yelling, "Go Donny," and that's why the doors were locked today, Gordon. Have you thought about that?
It could be all those tips you sent me too, Kenty.
What about you? You got all narky. Gordon takes your tips every week and sends a couple my way. And it had a couple of successes yesterday, so I got the
thank you
would be nice, and then three finger up emojis. Well, 15 weeks in a row hasn't tipped a winner, and he tipped three yesterday, and he's expecting a thank you. And then what else did you do, Gordon? Explain.
Put it all up into the Titans. So having R last night.
So you sent one tip through race 8 number 3. And then,
that's right. And it was the wrong one. It was race 8, number 2.
Just before they jumped. Oops, sorry. So he's blown up because he's not going to thank you. But no apology when he gives you the wrong horse.
Oh. Okay, Titan.
I didn't have my glasses on. I took them off. Right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that, Paul.
All right. Well,
we did win that one.
We'll get you to wait there, mate, and we'll get you to chime in, but we'll try and get that sorted out. The Brisbane studio is not up and running at the moment. That's why Gordy's on the phone at the moment. Let's start with the Broncos, though. 133.53. The Broncos have now lost 5 games straight. That started back with Parramatta when COVID ended, or when we got back from COVID. The Roosters got a Manly that they got close, and then it blew out again, the Knights and the Titans. Right now, they are second last. They look like being the most unsuccessful Broncos side in the history of the great club. Just before I go to you, boys, this is Anthony Seibold in the press conference last night.
Do you fear for your own job, personally?
To be fair, I haven't even thought about that. You know, I'm trying to stay in the present. I've got a 5-year deal here. I'm think I'm the right person to try and bring this group through, but if the board think otherwise, or Paul White as CEO thinks otherwise, then they'll tell me. But it's like you guys, I'm sure you're not looking over your shoulder for your own jobs. I'm not looking over my shoulder. I'm trying to work as hard as I can. I'll get up and go again in the morning. It's frustrating, and it's the first time I've lost 5 games in a row as a head coach. But if the board call me in and ask for an explanation, I'll give them some feedback. But I don't think that would happen. I think they would just make the decision.
What made my ears prick when I heard that audio on Fox League last night, Hoops, is the first thing he says is, "I think I'm the man for the job."
Yeah, he sounds like he's in all sorts, doesn't he, Seebs? You feel for him at the moment, but you've only got to look at the way that the side is playing, and they're second-guessing everything that they're doing.
What concerned me about that interview were the pauses in the interview. Mm. So he would begin to talk, for example. He'd say, if the board calls me in, and then he pauses, and then you can see the pause, he corrects himself. I'll give them an explanation. Okay. I think I'm the right man for the job, but then he pauses. If the board think otherwise, and then he pauses, and then he tries to recover and answer in a positive manner. So he's in a world, there's no doubt he's in a world of hurt. I think it's starting to get to that next stage. It's not, initially it was just he thought it was just criticism from the media, criticism from former Broncos and people like that, and paid no attention to the fact that there was that criticism from the media and the former players was coming from a deeper truth, and which he didn't want to acknowledge. Now I think that last night's result has actually driven home the state the Broncos are actually in, and I think he is fearing for his future now. The throw up there, "I've got a 5-year deal," that wasn't a question. I haven't thought about it. I'm trying to stay in the present. I'm trying to stay in the present. Pause. "I've got a 5-year deal." Like you can see he wants to answer differently to what he's actually giving you. And then, but what he's doing is he's correcting himself on the run. And that indicates a coach who is, to me, is lost.
133.53. Okay. Let me ask you this. Gordon Tallis, does he have reason to fear for his job?
I think so. They've picked the roster, the 30 odd players that they're there. That's what they've gone with, and for some reason, that they're just not responding to him. You know, last year, he did say in that press conference as well that they were 2 from 7 last year as well. Well, that's not good enough. And after COVID, the stars that he's got, everybody's got injuries. They should be performing better, or you should see some sort of improvement. I think a couple of years ago when he said why he got the job is he's great at developing kids. And in saying that, and this is not a knock, I think Payne Haas has gone backwards this year. I think some of those kids have gone backwards.
I think quite a few have, Gordon.
Yeah, so Milford hasn't improved. Brody Croft, the first couple of weeks was outstanding. I think he's started to go backwards in the last little bit. I think, you know, I think there's times for concern. I've called for change. I'm not gonna hammer them when they're down. I actually felt really sorry for the players. I think that they're lost. I think that they're a shell of themselves. I think there's no confidence in the organisation whatsoever, and it reeks of it. You know, there's no confidence in their performance. I thought Alex Glenn last night, I thought he was absolutely outstanding. As a leader, I thought he tried his best. He was trying everything, but no one was going with him. So I don't know all the answers, but there's a lot of problems there. And, you know, it'd probably start with recruitment. That would be number one.
Yeah, the concern too, Gordon, is the fact that the players they seem to go out and they had enough effort in their performance last night to win the game. It's not like some other performances we've seen around the NRL at different times where you just wonder if they've even turned up and had a crack. The players had a go. They just didn't play smart. There's a difference between playing hard and playing smart. They didn't know what they were trying. They didn't know what they were trying to do to beat the Titans. They didn't seem to have a clear, at least as a collective group, they didn't seem to have a clear game plan or a clear understanding of what the game plan was requiring to win the game. And they went out
That was us last week against the Dragons, right? The Titans had no punch. They had no answer. It was lethargic. They looked slow, but, you know, like, and the effort was there. Last night, they moved the Broncos around. There was purpose. Dare I say it, Holbrook in 1 week changed the whole mindset of the way the Titans attacked. And, you know, the Broncos were revving up and getting us in the corner, and we're shifting the ball and we're moving them around, and we're getting to the halfway in 3 or 4 tackles. And, you know, Brisbane last week, so there's no change in their game plan. Like, you know, every week they go out there and try to do the same thing, and it's not working. So they need to change. And if Holbrook can change the Titans in 1 week that looked rudderless against, you know, the Dragons, to beating, you know, a powerhouse like the Broncos, and the way they beat it. And that was a desperate Broncos. They come out and they were firing, and they actually had no answer. I was actually really surprised of the scoreline at halftime, and it could even have been higher to the Titans.
Hey, boys, let me just interrupt you here because the phones have gone absolutely berserk. People wanting to have their say about the Broncos at the moment on 133.53, and they're coming from everywhere. Alfred's Point, Jared, what did you want to say, mate?
Hey, Maroon. Hey, boys. How are we on this fine Sunday?
Good, mate.
Good. Yeah, good, thanks. I guess I just want to have a quick question in terms of, because I remember it was either Hoops or Kenty that mentioned this on NRL 360 the other night. If the Broncos board were thinking about sacking Seabold, it'd be quite an expensive sacking, because isn't he only into his third year of his 5-year contract, and would the Broncos have enough finances to be able to do it?
He's only in year two, and I would think that surely you wouldn't have to pay him out in full, Kenty. You'd have some sort of settlement severance.
Well, there is speculation about that, and this is one of the confusing things I think about the situation. Because everybody sort of balked a little bit when it was a 5-year deal announced, and with an option for a 6-year, and then we had a bit of an option. The option was Seabold's option. Then it was the club's option, and then there was talk, I think last year, when the Broncos weren't travelling that well, about the possibility of if they had to move him on early, and it went around that there was a clause in there that if they had to pay him out, they only had to pay him out to the end of, I think, the following season.
Mm.
So it was still a substantial payout, but it wasn't the full 5-year deal. That has been speculated and disputed and all the rest of it. To be honest, unless you've seen the contract, nobody really knows. But my understanding was that, well, certainly it went up that there was a clause in there that it wouldn't be a full payout. I think Paul White at some point has said that there won't be a that would not require full payout if he was let go early. But I don't know exactly what the terms are.
Okay, 133.53, Hoops.
if the losses continue to mount, it wouldn't stun me if Anthony Seibold at the end of the season decided to walk away. Hey, if the losses continue to mount the way that they are.
Let's talk about, because you've all spoken about effort. You've said effort's been there in the last 5 weeks. So, Gordon, let me bring you back into this. Do we know anything about Anthony Seibold and individual relationships with certain players?
Oh, no, we don't. I think a couple of weeks ago, it might have been after the Roosters loss, he did go into the playing group and he said, guys, if you don't want me here, let me know. And you know, it's come out that you know most players just looked at the floor. Like they didn't even look at him. So I don't know whether he's lost the dressing room. And the way Alex Glenn played, I think there needs to be honesty. You know, you saw Paul Green was under the pump and Josh Maguire come out and blame himself and all of his teammates. There's no one at the club that's, you know, pointed at themselves that, you know, I said that we've got to change this. So I haven't heard that up here. But the way they're playing, it just doesn't seem like they're defending for each other. So the team is separated. At some stage, they're actually not playing for each other. So that's the coach's job, to get these guys as one unit. And they're not at the moment.
I said that the other night on 360, Gordy, the fact that he said that to the players. Now, coaches will say that at different times when they're addressing the team and they're just trying to get some response out of the team. Guys, if I'm not the right bloke, let me know. I'm out. And when that was said to the players, it's been a little bit twisted by the Broncos as if there was he lost the dressing room. It was never intended to portray that. It was that anecdote, that little story of him saying that to the players, is basically there to show his confusion. That this early in his 5-year deal, you know, one and a quarter years into his contract, he's already saying this to the players. That's the concern. It doesn't matter what the players' response was at the time. If they all overwhelmingly said, no, so if you want you, my understanding was only two players actually vocalised it. Just because the rest didn't say anything doesn't mean they're against him. But by the same token, it was hardly like they shouted him down and said, don't be silly. But the fact that he's actually throwing that up to the players this early, this is the concern for the Bronx. Do they want to spend the next 3.5 years trying to salvage the damage that's been done? Because this is getting to the point now, this doesn't turn around in a week. Doesn't turn around in 2 months, what's happening at the Broncos. Their roster's bent out of shape. They've allowed it to get bent out of shape. They're too top-heavy in the Fifita and Pangai and Haas and all those sorts of players, and they still don't have a dominant playmaker. No. They thought Croft was going to be the answer. He's not the answer. Milford, thank God, started to run the ball a bit last night, but still didn't do it enough to have an impact on the result. Darius Boyd should be they should be having the same conversation that the Dragons have with Jimmy Graham, and finding a solution that works for everybody.
Yeah,
they've got to start showing a little bit of leadership and a little bit of strength at the club. Okay, guys, this is unacceptable. But they're taking the soft option all the time, and that's part of the club's problem.
Well, you know, and then all over social media where the players laughing with their with some of the times, and I get that they're friends, but, you know, I remember 1 year we got beaten in State of Origin and Choppy Close wanted to knock us all out because we swapped jerseys and we laughed walking off the field. And he goes, every Queenslander at the moment, mate, would be throwing their rum down. You know, like, you don't do that. You don't show your fans that you're happy with a loss. And, you know, for the first time ever that I can ever remember, the Broncos got booed off at halftime.
Boys, what about this coming week, round 8, the Broncos have the Warriors. Hoops, if the Warriors beat the Broncos, would that, you would have to be thinking behind the scenes, if no disrespect to Siebes, if he goes till next week, you'd have to think that's some sort of a line in the sand if they lose that one.
They've got a fortuitous draw. They play the Warriors.
And we said that last week, didn't we?
Hey, hold on, mate. They were supposed to beat the Titans.
Yeah, I know, Gordon, I know. So, look, they have got a fortuitous draw, but at the same time, the pressure is going to continue to mount. Like I said a moment ago, it would not stun me, and I think it is a realistic possibility of happening if, at the end of this season, if the losses continue to mount and Brisbane don't make the finals, which it doesn't look like they're going to, Anthony Seibold decides to walk away.
It'd be a small miracle.
Hoops, it's not if they beat the Bulldogs, the Dragons, the Warriors. It's whether this club can beat Parramatta and the Roosters. This club plays for titles.
Well, there's no chance, Gordon. The way they're playing at the moment, there's no chance of doing that.
That's what needs to change. It's not whether, oh, they come out and they beat the Titans last night, you know, 38-0, and then they go beat the Bulldogs and they beat the bottom feeders, right? They've got to go out and get the big scalps. That's what this club was built on, winning titles. And every time we didn't play in a grand final, I'm telling you, we were embarrassed. It was actually, and we got hammered in the media. So they think that, you know, that, oh, yeah, geez, they're hard. Mate, I got called Dad's Army and I had to retire and we're overrated and we're overpaid and we're not tough enough and we can't play without Glenn Lazarus. All those got thrown at us as well because that's what the expectation of the Broncos is. And it's not going out there and just making the eight. It's winning grand finals. And that's, mate, and it's as simple as that.
Yeah, well, they're they are years away from winning grand finals.
Hey, congratulations too to the Titans on a wonderful win last night. Now, boys, before we go any
good
further,
to see you supporting the Gold Coast,
yeah, mate.
Anthony, you bagged them.
We
and
are
put
four
the...
wins away from you booking into your surgeon.
No, mate. I said five wins in a row after
you know,
we returned
home.
We
are 4 wins away.
No,
4 wins away. We'll
five
book the
wins
surgeon.
Away from the start of COVID was the bet. So they've lost. I wouldn't get carried away, Gordon. With due respect, they've lost four or something. So I said they had – no.
You said
boys,
if they
boys,
won
boys.
Five games in a Look, row, you would go to a plastic surgeon and get breast implants.
I said if they win five games in a row when we return from COVID, I would get a sex change.
Don't try and put a sex change.
I said
– See, one win, you get nervous.
I'm not nervous because the bet's
you
over.
You are as solid as a tower of jelly.
The bet started at round three.
You're quivering right now already.
I'm not quivering at all. The bet started at round three.
So look, embarrassing.
It's only 21 past. It's easy. It's early for you blokes to be bullying, even by your own standards. It's early. Now, my Maroons poll for today. Maroons poll's an absolute beauty because I tell you what I hate. I hate when players lose and they sit around the oval high-fiving each other and hugging each other. And the worst at it, by the length of the straight, the Dally M winners are the Warriors who've been doing it for years. Win, lose or draw, they're out there having a party. We saw the Broncos do it last night. Maroons poll, does it make you angry to see your players smiling after a loss? Triple M NRL Facebook page or at Triple M NRL. I think at Triple M underscore NRL.
Have you got a problem with the Warriors?
I don't have a problem.
You bagged the Haka last week.
I did not bag the Haka last week.
You got stuck into it.
No, I didn't. I
thought it was a disgrace.
Just to be clear, I said that the boys should have, before they worried about the Haka, with great respect to the Haka, they should have tackled a little bit harder, would have been more helpful to Steve Kearney. So don't try and make trouble. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more as Triple M rocks the footy.
Sunday Stupid. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. And we look at those scores, of course, as we always do, thanks to our mates at Tyre Power. Right now, Tyre Power, buy three, get one free on selected Falcon tyres. Another win for the Eels last night. Parramatta 25, Raiders 24. Parramatta leading the competition at the moment. And joining us on the line, one of the heroes of the current Parramatta squad, Junior Paulo. Welcome to the Sunday Sin Bin.
G'day, lads. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Mate, look, it seems like since we got back from COVID, every time we talk about a great rugby league game, it involves Parramatta, Parramatta Roosters, Parramatta Manly, Parramatta Canberra. You guys are the team to watch at the moment.
Yeah, it's definitely been a tough month for footy. You know, obviously come up against Manly, Penrith, Roosters and Canberra last night, so... they are entertaining games of footy, but, you know, definitely been some tough games as well.
Junior, you lost your halfback midway through the game. The way Parramatta responded after that was magnificent.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's always hard when you lose your main playmaker in Mitchie. I think the simplicity of our game just changed and our dynamics of just trying to play simple footy and, you know, complete and play through the middle was our game plan once we lost Mitchell. So I thought we stuck it out, but, you know, we let a couple of crucial tries where they were able to claw their way back. But, you know, we managed to hang on there.
Geez, your skipper showed some great composure, Clint Gutherson, when you needed the field goal.
Yeah, one of the main things was trying to, I guess, not panic. And, you know, he practices all the time after training with Mitchell and, you know, I'll probably throw my name out there with Campbell Gillard as well. We're trying to hit him. So
you've been knocking him over yourself, have you?
So we'll hopefully be waiting for a pass from Reed there. And I was expecting it, but I guess it wasn't my time to call a hero.
Not to worry, mate. How many field goals have you kicked in your time?
Zero at the moment.
probably why they don't come to you.
Hey, it was Guffo's first field goal.
Well, that's so fair call, like, yeah, good point.
Can you give us a bit of an insight, Junior? It looks like a really happy dressing room at the moment, Parramatta. You all look like you're really enjoying yourselves. And just give us an insight in relation to your coach and Brad Arthur and what he's been able to build at the club.
Yeah, you know, it is fun turning up to training every day and, you know, Brad's helped build that culture within the club. You know, he's been there for a couple of years now. But, you know, with us moving forward, like, I guess, basing our year off, you know, being a closer pack and, you know, preseason was another tough preseason as always, but we focused more on trying to just become a closer team and, you know, just really enjoying being around each other. And I think that's showing out on the field. We really enjoy just being able to play with a bloke beside you, and that's one thing, you know, we're trying to build is the confidence, is knowing your mate's going to turn up for you. So you know, last night showed that, and you know, we're just looking to build off these performances.
It certainly showed that. Listen, Junior, the changes in the rule interpretations as a middle forward, how are you finding it?
Yeah, you know, it is a lot faster game, and you know, if you want to be playing good footy, you just got to learn to adapt. And I thought we've been able to do that, you know, post the COVID break that we've had. And, you know, some of our, you know, game plans that we do have sort of go out the window once you get those six again called. So I think we're just a team that's learning to adapt. And, you know, some of the times we're turning the ball over and, you know, in cheap possession on first tackles when we get that six again call. But, you know, I feel like it's, you know, a faster game, but, you know, you sort of have more space to run around.
Brad Arthur said after the loss to the Roosters that they were more professional than you guys, that they taught you a few things. What has his message been after that game, and what are you guys now trying to look to try and improve upon?
Yeah, we spoke about that in review, and, you know, they just managed to hold the ball, you know, complete their sets and get to their kicks. And, you know, they certainly showed, you know, what the good teams are doing. And, you know, I think we're showing glimpses of that, but we've got to be able to show that for 80 minutes like they do. So, you know, to be able to put teams away at the Sword. And I think, you know, like our lapses that we had last night where they scored two tries sort of certainly let us down. But, you know, the good teams are able to hang on. And I thought we were right in that contest.
Parramatta are one of the big clubs in the NRL, and we all know about the grand final drought that the club is in at the moment. But there's a lot of optimism around the Golden West out there. Are you starting to feel that with the fans?
Yeah, you know, our fans are always there behind us, right behind us. But, you know, I think the players itself are beginning to have that belief. And, you know, that's sort of what let us down last year, is I think we weren't mentally prepared going into the finals footy. And, you know, we've definitely worked hard in the preseason, and it's something that we've really learned to sort of base our performance off, is being mentally tougher and just being able to grind teams out. You know, we don't want to win the game in the first half, but we want to be able to seal the games within that 80th minute. And I thought last night was, you know, a good balance of being able to close that game out. We obviously went to Golden Point and managed to win that on the 87th minute or whatever it was.
Yeah. We see so many teams now, when they're looking to improve and become serious contenders, they talk about grinding it out and getting through their sets and all that sort of stuff. Why is that so important?
Just being able to, you know, complete our sets and starve team of possession certainly takes the wind out of you when you're defending back-to-back sets, or when you get a turnover and you manage just to try and complete your set and get to that kick. And then obviously defence is a big thing for us that we've been trying to improve on, and certainly been able to just, I guess, hang on and find a way to, you know, stop the tries. But, you know, with the game moving forward and how fast it's been played, you've got to be able to, I guess, control possession, which is a big key.
Have you got an update on Mitchell Moses, your great mate, Junior?
Not yet. I did see him at recovery this morning, and, you know, he was getting around pretty good. So hopefully his scans
get back sometime today, and you know we get some good news.
Junior, what about the boxing ring? We've seen a few people around the game have a talk about whether they want to get in, and you know, I'm not going to suggest you for Mike Tyson, but have you thought about doing that again?
It's been on the back of my mind. You know, obviously after that fight, I did return back. You know, fitter for preseason, and it definitely does help. But you know, I'm not too focused on that at the moment. I'm just trying to play some good footy. But you know, if the opportunity ever comes up again, I definitely won't be saying no.
No, there was a period in that fight where I thought you were going to get him, to be honest. I was watching. I thought that I reckon if you just basically threw down and said, "Oh, I'm not going to box you anymore. I'm just going to brawl you," I reckon you might have got home.
Yeah, you know, if I could rewind back time, I probably would have. But yeah, Gal's, you know, the athlete that he is, and you know, he managed to win that. So yeah, like I said, if I ever get another chance, and I'll definitely pull my hand up.
All right, Junior, good to catch up, mate. All the very best with the recovery of Mitchell Moses.
Yeah, cheers. Thank you.
Good on you, mate. There he is. Mitchell Moses joining us from the Parramatta Eels. As I said, they're
leading.
Junior Paulo.
What did I say?
Anthony.
Mitchell Moses. Oh, sorry, boys. Sorry.
Good bloke.
Mate, seriously, this shopping centre's got you rattled, hasn't it?
No, I've
can
not.
Can we get to the bottom of what's happening?
No,
in the shopping
guys,
centre?
We've got more important issues to discuss here.
Well, seriously, you're calling Junior Paulo Mitchell Moses.
I know,
Moses
because
now.
This is how confused
you really are,
mate. Maybe I got a couple of punches around the head.
Well, maybe this bottom is why your evidence. This is why your version of what of events to Lee Hajipin Talat.
Yeah.
Might actually be up for questioning, Anthony. You might need to be careful about what you're trying to do here.
I'm not trying to do anything.
Was there CCTV footage?
I have thought about that. I have thought about that.
Yeah. So is the person suing you, so just bear that in mind.
Yeah, but no punches were thrown. I'm going down. I'm making no comment of the incident in the Eastern Suburb Shopping Centre.
Right, so, okay. We're talking about East Lakes or?
More importantly.
Is it East Lakes? Is that what it's called? East Gardens?
I'm not saying.
Well, can we thank Junior Paulo for a damn good interview?
Absolutely we can.
Yes.
But if you blokes could, why have they said Mitchell Moses?
If you've got some sort of post-concussion thing, just let us know now and we'll get you through it. We'll look after you.
Oh, I don't believe you would, Paul. I don't believe you would look after me.
Well, we would, Anthony. You just need to be upfront about what happened.
This is the problem with this joint. This is culturally what the problem is with this Triple M joint, right? Is I tell one of our colleagues in confidence that I had a little bit of an issue at a shopping centre, and he can't wait to get on air like a little old woman, like Mrs. Kravitz off Bewitched, and just
which
tell everyone.
Is the person who had the incident with it just but anyway, go on.
And tell everyone my business. You know, I don't go around telling everyone Ryan Girdler's personal business or either of you. But I tell you what I'll start doing, if any of you tell me anything in confidence, it'll go straight over the air. You're having a blue with your missus, you lost on the punt, you did this. Whatever, it'll go straight over the air. All right, so don't tell me your business. I'm warning you from now.
All right then.
Okay, because I tell you what, let's get back to the football. You don't mind talking about football, do you? You two?
Well, I don't want to put you your out. Stuff to be honest. Yours is far more amusing.
Well, now we've got to go to a break, and we haven't even discussed Parramatta without Mitchell Moses and how long that will be. We'll do that when we return as Triple M rocks the footy.
Sunday Sinbin. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
Triple M rocks footy.
Well, welcome back to it. Yeah, the results so far this round. Penrith 20, Souths 12. Storm 50, Warriors 6. Roosters 26, Dragons 12. Cowboys 32, Knights 20. Titans 30, Broncos 12. Parramatta 25, Raiders 24. Manly Sharks today. Tigers Dogs tonight. And those scores are all thanks to Tyre Power. With Paul Kent, Hoops and Maroon, we're just waiting to get Gordy Tallis back. We've got some technical difficulties in Brisbane. As in, nobody's turned up to let him into the building or something, but we'll get to the bottom of that very shortly. And heads will roll.
I love that's classified a technical difficulty in Queensland. They forgot to let him in.
Yeah.
Oh, what's going on up there?
Boys, well, just before we finish off on Parramatta, we really didn't discuss the fact that Mitchell Moses has got this calf injury, and we don't know at this stage how long he'll be out. But if you're a Parramatta supporter, you'd be concerned. They've got Cowboys coming up, Knights, Manly, games they could win, but by geez, they could win them a lot, you know, much more chance if Mitch Moses was in the team.
They're saying 2 to 3 weeks, and look, he's their general, no question. You know, he is their primary playmaker, and without him, it is going to be a challenge. Dylan Brown, look, he's a good young gun in terms of playmaking as well, but certainly without Mitchell, he's the leader of that team.
All right, boys, let's move on now to the team that lost last night, the Raiders, who haven't returned from the COVID break as good as they would have liked to. And Ricky Stewart made the comment last night, Hoops, that it's not, they're not lacking effort. They're just trying too hard.
You can see they're frustrated at the moment, the Green Machine. And look, like a lot of people, they're expected to be a top four side on the back of last year's grand final appearance. And they made some slight adjustments. I think they're missing John Bateman. He has been injured and had to have further shoulder surgery and won't be back for another couple of months. But what he brought to that football team last year, a little bit of something different, they're clearly missing that on the right edge. And Curtis Scott is one player who has come under a lot of pressure.
Mm. Paul?
Oh, look, I think the Raiders, yeah, they're not quite firing on all cylinders at the moment. It's hard to determine what really is wrong with them. To me, they look like a side that they're trying to go sideways before they go. They're going through the teams, through the middle. And they're a side last year that their best performances came on the back of that momentum they generated. And when they came back after COVID, first game against Melbourne Storm, which was a big test, I mean, exactly what the Raiders wanted. They wanted a big game to basically smack them away, get them ready. Okay, you're off again. And they put a lot into that performance, and they played so well. But they haven't been able to repeat that. I think that the Raiders, it's very easy for teams, when you start to have success, given how tough it is to get through the middle, it's very easy for teams when they begin to have a little bit of success to put the reward before the effort some weeks. And what the Raiders, to me, look like they're doing is they're trying to play sideways. They're trying to do that razzle-dazzle stuff that we know that they can do with the offloads and the second phase play. They're trying to do that before they're actually earning the right to do that by getting over the advantage line and getting the defence in retreat. And because of that, teams can muscle up defensively and have been able to slide defensively and shut them down. The Raiders are at their best when they're coming at you. That's what the Roosters are doing now. It's almost like the Roosters threw an eye over the Raiders' fence and said, okay, well, this is how they're doing it. The Roosters are so good at winning momentum early. They're getting the big wingers and the fullbacks, and they are getting them started off the kick return, and then they start powering through the middle. And the minute they start to win that battle, the Roosters, and I love the way Trent Robinson described it as player choice, that their style of footy, is players then get the ball against a defence in retreat and everybody else just starts to spear for the gaps, and it's your responsibility as a ball player to find the player who's going through the hole. The Raiders were doing that great last year when they were playing good footy. They've lost that a little bit now, but it's just a matter of just saying, guys, it's time to get the sleeves rolled up again and start playing a bit tough. Bateman is a significant loss because he added to that second phase and he helped build momentum and get them rolling forward simply by the virtue of he was able to get so much second phase going, and it's so tough to bring down on that first contact. But they're a side that they've got to just get back to understand they've got to win the hard way before they win the easy way.
All right, boys, we'll take a break because you'd mentioned the Roosters there. We want to talk about the Roosters. Two mammoth injuries coming out of that game against the Dragons on Friday night. We want to talk about those injuries. We want to talk about the playing surface at Bankwest Stadium and take a look at where both the Roosters and the Dragons go from here as Triple M rocks the footy.
Sunday Sinbin.
Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. It's the Sunday Sinbin. Thanks to our mates at King G and, of course, the Mitsubishi Triton. For over 40 years, Mitsubishi Triton has helped Australians get the job done. Engineered to deliver power, performance, five-star safety, towing, and the latest technology. It's one tough ute. You can't frighten a Triton. You don't have the Triton, do you? What do you got? The other one, though. You've got the little brother, the little cheap knockoff, haven't you?
No, I've got a Ford Ranger.
Yeah, well, that's what I said, yeah. all right, let's go back to this game from Friday. No, I'm only kidding. Man,
what about you? You ever since you've been assaulted by a grandmother at the shopping centre yesterday,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Ever since you've just been out of sorts. Like, are you okay? Oh, you've got some sort of concussion, haven't you?
Now, I will remind you, Paul, and I regard you as an intellectual man. I will remind you that this matter is with my solicitor at the moment.
But until there's charges, you can say what you like.
Right.
So if you want to go that track,
Let's do that. There's no charges to say. Give us your version. Yeah, get it out there.
No,
we sway public opinion before the CCTV vision comes out, because as we speak, I have got people on the case to get a little bit of black and white footage.
But you don't know where it happened at, Paul.
Anthony, there's three shopping centres where you live.
Mate, how many shopping centres between Little Bay and Bondi Junction do
you think? Okay.
You've got Randwick, Kingsford, Bondi.
That's just a couple more phone calls, Anthony.
Can we confirm the other party involved was a lady?
No.
An elderly lady. You admit it. Off air, you admitted it.
I have not.
And some bloke came to her rescue. So I'm trying to figure
out. I will not comment.
That's why the man. You've left the victim out.
I will not
and
comment.
And the hero that's come in to try and pull you out of this, right? Because we know what you're like. So someone said, Billie Jean King's in a fight.
Mate, the only victim in this is me, and what we've learnt, we've learnt nothing more than we've learnt that Ryan Girdler is a disgraceful human being.
I'll take that back.
If you tell him something, that's way over the top. Tells everyone. I mean, this bloke could be at home with the old women at the Singleton CWA gossiping and telling other people. Huh?
That's fertile land for you.
Imagine the blues
you could get in there.
He is an Origin legend.
And you've just called him a disgraceful
human being.
As they say, he's lost my support. He's lost my support. And next time I go to Manly to do my Legends of League podcast, I won't be drinking coffee at Girdler's anymore. I'll be going somewhere else.
Cha-ching. We just got a little plug in.
Just a quick email's come through at MMM_NRL. Rick's come in from Lake Cadi. Says, any chance you blokes will talk about some footy today? Well, Rick, I'm trying to do that, mate. We just keep getting sidetracked. Roosters fans, bad news on Friday night. Not one but two players lost what looks like for the season with ACL injuries. Victor Radley and Sam Verrills, great young players. We love watching them both play. And it's just devastating news for the poor old Roosters.
Yeah, superstars of the game, the two of them. And look, it is a blow fortuitously for the Chooks, as we've seen in the way that they've gone back-to-back over the last couple of seasons. Depth is one of their best strengths. And so as a result, it'll be next man up is the phrase that they like to use. I think Isaac Liu will probably most likely become their starting number three.
Oh, yeah. But Hoops, I will say this. The season-ending injury, so they won't be back this season. And I don't care how good you are, the one thing that brings every superpower to its knees is injuries.
Mm.
I've seen teams over the years that are just powering along. And you think, how can these guys get beat?
Yeah.
Couple of injuries. You go back to the famous one, I think 93, when Canberra had lost two games all year and was just steamrolling everybody. In the last game, they beat Parramatta by 50-odd, and Ricky Stewart breaks his ankle. The Raiders were leading the premiership by a mile at that point.
Mm.
Didn't win another game.
Yeah, I remember that clearly. I was at the final. They played the Broncos, and the Broncos just lapped them.
Yeah, and poor Steve Stone had to go out and play halfback. Mm. This is what it can do to you. And the Roosters are a championship squad. But these are two players who, in some ways, you know, they both plug up the middle a little bit. They both got a little bit of guile with the ball. They're elusive. They've got some second phase play in their footy. They're going to be big losses to the Roosters. They are significant losses, and to me this really, I wouldn't say it puts a question mark. They're still capable, but the Raiders aren't the pronounced. The Roosters aren't the pronounced favourites now that they were a week ago.
Radley's such an X factor, and I think his ball playing is quite underrated. Like everybody thinks of Radley,
and he's tough.
They think he'll rush out of the line and put a big shot on and change the game, the momentum of the game with a big shot. Right.
Well, that's what happened on Friday night. That's what the problem was.
Correct. But his ball play is often quite understated in terms of how skillful he actually is. So, are you saying, Kenty, do you think they can't win the comp without him?
Oh, no, they can, but I think the Roosters were such a strong squad that they had a couple of second chances up their sleeve, okay? A couple of things could go wrong for them, and they're still going to be good enough to win the comp. I think those things have now gone wrong for them. I think that for them to now win the premiership, they have to almost nurse their way. And I think Trent Robinson's doing a magnificent job of resting players. And second to that, actually playing players who we're all assuming in previous years would have been playing reserve grade or State Cup or wherever. But now there are guys who aren't playing at all. So to be able to say to a bloke, mate, we'll rest you this week and we'll put you up. He did it on the weekend with a couple. He rested Nat Butcher because he's been carrying injury. And he allows others to play any spot. So they get a week of footy just to keep them some sort of match fitness there. But I just think the Roosters, like, I don't know how many more long-term injuries they could now absorb. Mm. They've had two significant ones. Once you start to get beyond that, you start to get into pretty troubled territory. I always look every year when they come to the finals, the team that should be the favourite at finals time, forget about throughout the season, at finals time, is the team with the least amount of injuries. And the Roosters have got these two who will not now be back for injuries for the finals. Mm. So that I just think they're not the side that they were a week ago because of that. But if there's one side that's placed to do it, it's them.
But now, Hoops, when we came back from COVID-19 and they put us all in these little sections, these teams play here, those teams play there, the Bank West is one little ground, Central Coast is another, there was always going to be this issue down the track where they said, when some palooka said, this ground's getting used too much, it's getting torn up, and now we want to blame Bank West Stadium, particularly after we saw Moses go down with an injury. We said, oh, here we go last night. How much do you want to... emphasis do you want to put on the playing surface of Bank West?
Oh, look, injuries are part of the game, Anthony, and of course it's going to be a talking point, but I don't think, what do you reckon, Kenny? Do you think you can blame the surface?
No, you can't. Look, it's nothing to do with the surface. Let me say this, right? In both instances, Radley and Verrills, their foot did not shift in the ground, okay? Second to that, anterior cruciate ligament tears, which is what they've done, generally come that ligament is stronger than muscle in your body. It takes more force to rip that, and they can't understand why that ligament will tear before a muscle will tear, for example, and all the rest of it. But generally when they find ACLs tearing, like these two have, and this is another peculiarity of it, is it's when they are decelerating. And if you look last night, Radley was rushing up, had the wrong line, tried to change direction, so he put the right foot down and slowed to change direction when the knee went. And Verrills was running forward, went to sidestep, and again, that slowed him. That was a decelerating move. In both instances, the body was slowing down, which is, that is mostly when ACLs get ruptured. That's generally how it happens. And it had nothing to do with the surface at all. And their feet didn't shift. And in fact, if their feet had shifted and slid a little bit, it may have taken that stress out of the knee and not been the focal point, so it wouldn't have torn.
Mm.
So it's not the surface at all. Look, it doesn't look great. It's not pitch perfect like we see, but let's remember, footy used to be played in a game where there used to be a big brown patch in the middle. Come off covered in dirt and mud and all the rest of it. Footy's not meant to be played on soccer pitches.
Mm.
And this oval last night, Friday night, had nothing to do with those injuries. It wasn't the surface whatsoever.
Okay, boys, that's the voice of Hoops and Paul Kent and Maroon here as Triple M rocks the footy.
Yeah, Matt from Collaroy, he's a very keen listener, Matt from Collaroy.
He's a bit of a troublemaker too.
He can be a troublemaker. Listen, but look, he also says, look, Matt from Collaroy, I'd like to congratulate Anthony on his bravery over the weekend. Heroes sometimes don't wear capes. P.S. Apologies, I can only pay for these comments with a check. The ATM is playing up.
Well, listen, if anyone else, whether it's Matt from Collaroy or that imposter Ryan Girdler or you two, storm out of this joint today. I will storm out of here.
You promise?
I will storm out of here. But before I do, Maroon's poll is... what about these players that after their team gets flogged week after week and they stand out there, how you going, bro, high-fiving, cuddling? I mean, all this nonsense that's got to go on after a game now. I don't like it. Maroon's poll is up and it's angry, and Maroon's poll today is... where have I got it here? Does it make you angry to see players smiling after a loss? Triple M NRL Facebook page at @MMNRL. And so, g'day to Rodney at Port Kembla, who says he's missing Gordon today, but it's nice to hear Paul Kent and Hoops finish a sentence. Ah, Rodney, he's a work colleague of ours, so don't go down that road because we don't support that sort of talk for somebody who's not here and he can't defend himself.
No, you definitely wouldn't be doing
that. No, I don't.
That.
Yeah. I don't like it.
So poor old Gerds, though, is he not a work colleague because you've been into him all afternoon?
Mate, Ryan Girdler is a disgrace of a human being. I told him this story about
take
the...
Take that back. That's
no,
way
I will
too heavy.
Not take
that
it back. I will not heavy. Take it back.
That's over the top.
I will not take it back. He's a pretty boy. He's a fair-weathered friend.
You might want to be careful because he obviously knows more about this than we do, and he might ring in old Gerds and actually fill in the details of how you've taken out the umbrella and taken it to some poor old geriatric.
How do you blokes, your ears painted on. This is with the solicitor. Do you know what a solicitor is?
Yeah, Ryan did play State of Origin.
Surely you do, Paul.
Right, and won a premiership for Penrith.
I don't care if he won a premiership for the Alexandria Rovers, mate.
He might know how to handle himself.
Let's take a break and we'll come back.
Certainly can handle himself better than some of your other foes in recent times.
Triple M rock the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Simbi.
Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. Nick Malloy. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.